I'm going to call this meeting of the House Committee on Early Childhood and Family Supports to order for Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. Colleagues, we're going to change the order just a little bit. We have two public hearings that should be fairly brief that I want to get done first, and then we'll go back to the two potential work sessions. So I'm first going to open a... Should I open them both or one at a time? One at a time. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3068. Zena.
Chair Lively and members of the committee, House Bill 3068 directs the Department of Human Services to conduct a statewide study regarding family supports. There is a Dash 1 amendment that replaces the measure. It creates resource and referral system as a statewide network of entities funded by the state. It authorizes the Early Learning Council to adopt rules. It sets the highest rules must require entities to provide at least one of the following services. Training and technical assistance for existing and potential child care providers, referrals for parents or guardians seeking child care providers, and recruitment of qualified individuals that meet the needs of the community. It requires resource and referral entities to match funds at or above 10% of the public funds received.
Okay, and we have two people. Don and Lisa will explain to us what this does or doesn't do and what we need to do with it. So thank you for being here. Have we seen you before?
Oh, yes, sure.
Just checking. Whoever wants to be first.
Chair Lively, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Dawn Woods, and I'm the child care director for the Early Learning Division. And so what this bill is bringing forward is looking at a statute that I believe was drafted first in the 90s when the child care resource and referral was first formed in our state. And through kind of as the early learning field has kind of changed, ebbed and flowed, and really kind of been more elevated these last few years with the forming of the Early Learning Division, we convened two work groups to really find out both what do parents need and guardians in terms of finding services and supports around child care for their children, as well as what are the professional development needs for the early learning workforce. And from those two work groups came a series of recommendations that really looked at, from a parent's perspective, what they really wanted was 24/7 access within different modalities to not just child care services, but a range of services, other things that they might be qualified to do. Additionally, within the professional development, it was really that targeted coaching supports that early learning professionals need to really help them do positive interactions in their programs. And so from that really caused us to kind of relook at how are we delivering professional development and how are we delivering parent referrals. And through this, again, as our systems continue to evolve, came the 211 information came, which really is that all purpose that provides a lot of services besides child care resource and referral. So this bill allows us to adjust kind of who delivers which part of the services, knowing they're all important, but allows experts within that piece of referral to do that piece of work, as well as then professionals that are experts in professional development to deliver the professional development to the child care providers.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good afternoon. For the record, I'm Lisa Pinero. I'm a policy analyst with the Early Learning Division. I would just like to actually address the not only the Dash 1 amendments, but, Mr. Chair, as you know, we have identified some additional changes that we actually need. So we'll be working with your committee staff to get another set of amendments drafted, and we can come back to you on that. Essentially, what we'd like to do is create a little bit more flexibility for the division to implement this a broader system of resource and referral entities that provide these services. And so the language will be a little bit more generalized in terms of the Office of Child Care implementing it, and some of the things that we might not necessarily want in rule that but yet we would want to be calling out in contract. And so we're going to tweak that language a little bit, and we'll come back to you with another set of amendments.
Okay. So does any members have questions at this point on House Bill 3068? There will be another amendment for us to consider. Doesn't look like it. Okay, so you can stay because you're up for the next one anyway, but I'll close the public hearing on 3068, and members, we will be carrying that one over until we can get the amendments and then do the work session at that point. So, open a public hearing on House Bill 3066. Dina.
Chair Lively, members of the committee, House Bill 3066 directs the Department of Human Services to conduct a study on family supports. There is a dash one amendment that replaces the measure. It modifies the child care contribution tax credit program. It removes references to the advisory committee. It removes the reference that specifies the purpose of the program as to set standards for child care, the child care industry concerning the cost of child care. It specifies the purpose of the program as to improve professional development of child care providers. It allows the Office of Child Care to make distributions to child care providers without rulemaking. There's no fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Very good. No fiscal, no revenue. We like that, don't we? So who would like to go first?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, again, Lisa Pinero from the Early Learning Division. And we bring you the Dash 1 amendments today. In the 2015 legislative session, this body made changes to the Child Care Contribution Tax Credit Program. And when those statutes were revised, there was some erroneous material left over that was not repealed when that program was changed. And so we're just bringing to you some cleanup of the statute. The legislature enacted the Child Care Contribution Tax Credit Program in 2003. And taxpayers can make contributions to those to the program and receive an Oregon State tax credit of 50 cents on the dollar. We are receiving consistently. We receive the contributions and meet the cap, and we utilize those funds to provide professional development and resources for our child care providers.
Any questions? Okay, doesn't look like it. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, if there's no questions, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3066. 3066, that is, and open a work session on House Bill 3066.
Chair Lively, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated March 24, 2017.
Representative Peluso moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated March 24, 2017. Is there any discussion on adopting the amendment? Any concerns about adopting the amendment? Okay, if not, the amendment is adopted.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 3066 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Peluso moves House Bill 3066 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay, hearing none, please call the roll.
Representative Bynum?
Aye.
Representative Hayden?
Excused.
Representative Huffman?
He's excused also.
Representative Kenny Geyer.
Aye.
Representative Malmstrom.
Aye.
Representative Brock Smith.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hack.
Aye.
Vice Chair Peluso.
Aye.
Chair Lively.
Aye. Motion carries. So we need somebody to carry the bill. Is that correct? Do I have a volunteer that would like to carry this very lengthy, complicated bill?
I think Representative Brock Smith. Yeah.
I'm happy to.
Okay. Representative Peluso. Okay. Did I close the work session? Okay, I did. Just keep track of what's going on here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just sure. A chair. How am I supposed to know what's going on? So now we're going to go back to the previous work sessions, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2013. So, members, this is a bill we heard some time ago, which now we're at that time of the thing we get to try to deal with bills we heard some time ago. Zena, do you want to remind us what this bill does or is about?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2013 expands eligibility requirements for lead preschool teachers under the preschool program administered by the Early Learning Division. It permits lead preschool teachers to have at least a bachelor's degree in a field not related to early childhood education if the teacher has completed coursework equivalent to a major in early childhood education and has sufficient training in early childhood education, an associate degree with additional training or certification in early childhood education or a field related to early childhood education, or alternative credentials to indicate a teacher is highly trained. It authorizes the Early Learning Council to develop strategies to increase the mean salary for preschool staff, and it directs the Early Learning Council to conduct an evaluation on accessibility and quality. It declares an emergency effective on passage. There is a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
And no amendment.
So, members, this is the bill the Speaker introduced to try to address what we heard quite a bit during the session about the problems that were created with the preschool promise and the existing programs, to try to identify other ways people could qualify and get to that. So, are there any other questions about this measure?
No.
Okay. Representative Peluso?
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 2013 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Representative Peluso moves House Bill 2013 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay. Please call the roll.
Representative Bynum?
Aye.
Representative Hayden?
Excused.
Representative Huffman?
Excused.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Malmstrom?
Aye.
Representative Brock Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hack?
Aye.
Vice Chair Peluso?
Aye.
Chair Lively?
Aye. Motion carries. The Speaker prefers not to carry it. I'll carry it on her behalf and see how successful. Is that all right, Representative Hack, or am I going to be in trouble if I do that?
I think you're fine.
Thank you.
Chair Lively?
Yes.
Representative Hack supports.
Okay. So we have.
Yes, so.
Is Jane anybody here? I don't see anybody.
I'm just going to stay out of it.
It's not here. So what do we do? We just carry it over? Yeah, we'll do that. Okay, so I'm going to hold on House Bill 3087 at this point, and instead we'll go to an informational meeting.
And you can say it is being carried over.
Even before I open it up. So we have another amendment on House Bill 3087 and potentially even another one. So my intent today was not to try to move the bill, but to receive that amendment and have some discussion about what that was. But there's nobody here right now to talk about that specific, so I'm not going to open that. If we don't get to it today, we'll carry it over until the next session. But there is another amendment. It was just posted, I know, to OLIS. So that's the status of that particular bill, Mr. Representative Brock Smith.
I appreciate your comments about carrying it over to the next session.
Are you going to hold me to that?
I will, sir.
How about to the next meeting?
I do have a question. I can't find the dash one.
The dash two?
Revenue impact on in OLIS. I see a dash two revenue impact statement.
So, right. There isn't. So dash two is the working amendment now. And part of what it addresses is the revenue and how that would actually be controlled, be collected in that, and that's why there is a revenue impact relating to it.
I guess my, I'm Mr. Chair,
oh, go ahead.
I apologize. I'm looking for the dash one revenue impact statement, since I was not at the meeting on Monday, our last meeting, because I was.
Yeah. So that's our, we didn't request at that point. So we hadn't requested revenues or our fiscal impact statements when we got the dash ones, because at that point it wasn't clear whether we were going to try to work the bill or not. Then as we're getting to the deadlines, we have to have made those requests to have those documents ready before we can hold a work session to do it. So that it was requested after that original hearing and discussion on dash one. We've since requested it. And so that we'll have to have those in place, both the revenue and the fiscal, on whichever amendment we ultimately decide to adopt as part of the bill before we can have that move the bill.
So there was no?
No. There wasn't a previous revenue statement or fiscal.
Then why the dash two?
The dash two is further, so the dash two amendment, and there's, I don't see Kate here, and we'll have a you'll have a chance to ask her questions about what it is. So that's the reason I didn't want to open it yet at this point, is because, but my understanding, the dash two is primarily focused on how revenue can collect or monitor and doing that. So it has more to do with that portion of the bill that gives revenue the authority to collect the tax.
Well, because I still had questions on what would be the cost, as I sure. asked earlier. And still have not received those answers.
And we'll get every opportunity as we have work sessions. I mean, we have until the 18th. So we'll carry it over to the next meeting, just so that's clear. And at that point, I hope to have the dash two here, and then we can ask further questions, see what other questions there are, and continue to carry it over until the 18th. At that point, we'll have to decide what we're going to do with it.
Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Now, did I open the informational hearing?
Yeah.
Okay, keep track of this. So I'm going to open an informational meeting now on the Multnomah Early Learning Hub. Let's see, I have the list somewhere. Oh, it's right here. So first we have Zeke, Erica, and Lolita. And so I think you're going to, well, they're going to provide some visual for us.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for being here. This is kind of a good break from these bills and that to hear more about the hub. So,
Chair Lively, Vice Chair Hack, Vice Chair Peluso, and members of the committee, thanks so much for inviting us here today. My name is Zeke Smith. I'm the Chief Impact Officer with the United Way of Columbia Willamette. Before we present, I wanted to tell you two things that might be slightly different than your typical presentations. One is that there are actually five of us who are going to present. I promise you we will do it in the period of time that we have. The right point in time, I'll ask you, Chair, if I can invite a couple of our presenters to sit down and invite two others up. The second one is we had prepared an activity, which is an activity that we use often in our meetings, or it's an example of an activity that we use often in our meetings, that we were going to engage you all potentially in the activity. We're not going to do that today, but what we do want to do is still demonstrate for you both a little bit about the activity and then give you a sense of how it fits into the context of how we operate as a hub. So at that point, I may also, if you don't mind, Chair, invite a couple of other partners up to help us organize the activity, and we're going to do that between the presentation table and your chair. So as we move forward,
sure.
Don't be afraid.
Okay, we'll try to be patient.
Great. Thank you. So I am going to keep my remarks brief, but I do want to introduce you to our hub, which is Early Learning Multnomah. We are the hub for Multnomah County. The United Way of Columbia Willamette partners with Multnomah County's Youth and Family Services Division in the Department of County Human Services as the conveners for our hub in Multnomah. United Way also co-convenes the hub in Washington County with Department of Health and Human Services there as well. So we want to give you some sense of United Way of Multnomah's hub's role within the larger statewide hub system. We know that you've had some presentations on that, and how our hub specifically operates and what we do. So to give you a little bit of a sense of the scale of our hub, you previously had heard that the early learning division's focus for the hubs is on 137,000 children of color with disabilities living in poverty and who are geographically isolated and or whose first language is not English. When you think about that as a pie, Multnomah County's population of that target group or that focus group is 34,000 young people between the ages of 0 and 6. So roughly one-fourth of those kids are in Multnomah County. Secondly, you can also think of this from a provider perspective. Again, you have seen that there are roughly a little over 4,000 licensed child care and early learning and development program providers across the state. About a quarter of those, a little over 1,000, are in Multnomah County. And if you look at the two pie charts together, you can actually see, in some ways, we have more diversity in the provider population, or at least a larger provider population in Multnomah County than in the rest of the state. We were one of the first group of hubs to organize, so we're moving on a three-year celebration as a hub in July of this year. We focus on building powerful partnerships to create change in the systems that impact families, and we put together this presentation for you today to give you a bit of a sense of how we do things and why we do them that way. So I'm going to hand it off in a second to Erica, who's going to lead us through the exercise. And again, we're just going to demonstrate for you, but typically, and I know many of you would love this, we would do this together. But if you don't mind, Chair, I'd like to invite a couple of our partners up to help us with the exercise.
Sure.
So I think that's Molly and Rachel and Francis. And Erica, you were on point.
I will pass it. Let me give this to you to hand out two pieces. Okay, so Chair Lively and Vice Chair and Representative Hack and Peluso and members of the committee. My name is Erica Bridgman-Bunyoli. I work for the Multnomah County Health Department Community Capacitation Center, and I am the project coordinator for the Community Education Worker Program. The activity that we're about, that my colleagues are setting up right now, is called a Dinamica, which is a social learning game that we do in many of our in all of our classes and all of our activities that we do in the Community Education Worker Program. This style of learning is hands-on and interactive, and it makes visible that we are all in this work together. I'm going to give them a second to put the pieces together, and then I'll explain to you what the pieces represent. Each piece of the puzzle either represents a core value of the Community Education Worker Program or a strategy through which we implement that value. These are values that were developed by the Community Education Workers themselves, who are all members of the culturally specific communities that they represent. So they're Native American, African American, Latino, Somali, or from Myanmar.
So who would normally be putting these pieces together?
Yes. Normally, we would have participants in the room come together and work together to put together these pieces. Sure. So, for example, when we did this at the American Public Health Association conference in the fall, we brought audience members up to assemble the pieces.
We're almost there.
Yeah, I can't see. And we did this as well at the Parent Advisory Council meeting, which is part of ELM's governance that you'll be hearing more about. There you go.
There it is. Yay.
So you can see that the puzzle's in the shape of Oregon.
That's very fun.
And wait.
You're not done.
So the principles that are developed, if I could have a couple of people read the pieces, so what they are, equity and the strategies.
Sure. So equity says integration of refugees, immigrants, and communities of color into the community by providing healthy, inclusive, culture-specific services.
Popular education, the foundation for all of our work, culturally centered based curriculum in our socializations.
Parent-child culturally specific learning environments for families from five cultural groups building power for our communities as we come together on this journey. Decolonization, indigenous populations reclaiming their traditional ways and worldview.
Parent-child engagement, promoting a healthy bond by providing positive learning opportunities and working together to support the family to improve overall health.
Systems change. The CEW supports families from... The CEW program supports families from multicultural communities to become more connected to the school, increase the culturally responsiveness of statewide kindergarten benchmarks for the social and emotional development, and develop partnerships in key sectors such as housing and health.
Very good.
So I am going to collect those pieces, and then I will turn it over to Lalika in just a second. But we just wanted to use this to demonstrate that this is what our hub is about. It's about creating partnerships that bring new voices and wisdom to the table as we work together to ensure children are ready for school success in kindergarten, and that families are stable and able to support their children, and that we are using culturally specific, specific strategies to address their needs. meeting.
So when you ask people to participate in this exercise, are they provided some guidance up front before they're just expected to do this, or are they supposed to just know?
Each person gets what, usually we have six volunteers.
Okay.
And often we'll lay down the principles first, and then they have to find where their piece fits. Mm-hmm. And they don't know, these colleagues knew it was going to be in the shape of Oregon, so they had a little bit of guidance, but usually they don't.
Don't even know
they
that.
Just have to do problem solving together.
Oh, great.
I think the chair, if I may, the other thing that is worth just pointing out there is that this is really indicative of how as we think about specific communities and populations, and as we think about bringing parents to, in effect, help guide our policy and our operations as a hub around early learning in Multnomah County, how we have to shift the way we operate in order to create a space that really ensures the right kind of participation. And sometimes that means the folks who are most uncomfortable are people like me, because I didn't really, I mean, I knew it was the shape of Oregon. I still couldn't really figure out the puzzle, which I think is a metaphor for something.
But if you look at this picture here, this is actually a picture of when we did the puzzle with the Parent Advisory Council, and you can see they had no problem getting on the floor and like helping change the pieces and work together to figure that out.
That's great. Really,
thank you.
Sure.
All right, that's all good. Chair Lively, Vice Chair Peluso, Vice Chair Hack, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Loli Tabratis. I am an early learning coordinator with Multnomah County Department of County Human Services. We believe every child can be successful in school. Right now in our county, race, ethnicity, and language are predictors of poverty and low rates of school success. And that's not acceptable. That's unacceptable. We believe in joining forces to dismantle the structural racism that blocks us from the goal of school success for every child. Here's what we're facing. In Multnomah County, 45% of all children age 6 and younger are from communities of color. But when we look at children living in poverty, we find that 67% of children in poverty are from communities of color. Children of color are overrepresented in poverty. When race, ethnicity, and language are predictors of poverty, then that is structural racism. It is the kind of racism that is built into the structures of institutions. As a hub, we join forces across many sectors and communities to challenge that structural racism. We want every family to experience early learning systems that are free from bias and discrimination. That commitment has created a new energy in our county. Our kindergarten partnership and innovation grant has energized the connections between early learning and schools. We pay attention now to culturally relevant practices. Our hub partners with culturally specific organizations to put P3 coordinators, that's prenatal through third grade, P3 coordinators at 8 elementary schools. They teach the school how to welcome parents, preschoolers, toddlers, and babies into the school building. The P3 coordinators build the pathway for a smooth and trusting transition into kindergarten. It just feels different to have early learning in K-12 working together like this, engaging parents as partners in their child's education, planning early kindergarten transition programs, going out together on home visits to welcome new students to school. There are more details in your packet about all of those programs. And I would just like to say that being a part of the one thing that I love about my job is that being a part of an organization whose primary role it is to help level the playing field by bringing equitable access and hope to children and families makes it a great job. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Any questions?
I'm going to invite Chair Lively, if you don't mind, I'm going to invite Erica to come back up to the podium. And we wanted to give you some sense of some of the specific programming that the hub is investing in Multnomah County, and then we'll tell you a little bit more about our operations and governance as well.
Okay, great.
Okay. So thank you again to the chair and to the representatives of the committee. So I wanted
to reintroduce yourself since you left.
Oh,
come back.
Sorry. Okay.
That's
so,
right.
I do need to reintroduce yes. myself. Okay. So again, for the record, I am Erica Bridgman Bunioli, and I'm the project coordinator for the Community Education Worker Program.
Thank you.
So before the other half of the team comes up, I wanted to tell you about another way that we connect young children and education success. It's the Community Education Worker Program that you learned about in the Dinamica. There are pages of information in your packet, but I will be brief and I will tell you a story. So in the corner, the right top corner, of that picture there, you can see Winter Rose. Winter Rose is a community education worker who is a Native American community education worker from Naya Family Center. She met a young family of a single mom and two daughters ages 6 and 4. The 6-year-old had never been to school, never been to a preschool program, never been to kindergarten. The 4-year-old was not yet enrolled in any kind of early childhood program. Their own school experience had been negative. Compulsory education in Native American communities is tied up with a history of forced removal to boarding schools and the violent disruption of Native life. The single mother was also in danger for losing her benefits and cash assistance because since she didn't have reliable child care, it was difficult for her to make the job trainings programs which were required. Winter is in her first job as a community education worker. She grew up as part of NEA's programming. She has a son in kindergarten now, so the family met with Winter, they trusted her, and they understood each other and each other's struggles. Winter was able to get the 6-year-old a backpack through NEA's family program and school supplies and new clothes. She was able to take the children and the parent to the school to meet the teachers and see the school facility, and built trust between the parents and the children and the school. After that, the 6-year-old was enrolled in school for the first time, where she was very excited, she loved it, and she's doing very well. The 4-year-old was enrolled in Head Start that year, and the parent, the single mom, was now able to attend job training and maintain her benefits. So with this is just one example of the ways that community education workers make a difference with helping families to remain stable and to connect children with kindergarten. When people ask me what the Community Education Worker Program does, I say that we use culturally specific solutions, like Winter, to build multicultural power across Native American, Latino, Somali, African American, and Burmese communities. And that is what we mean by systems change. Thank you.
So you probably said this, but so who oversees or who does the community education workers work for?
So each community education worker is employed in a culturally specific nonprofit organization. Okay. So they have a supervisor that they report to directly. And then as the coordinator of the program, I do project management for everyone. Mm-hmm. So I convene meetings of the supervisors, of the steering team, which is composed of the community education workers, the supervisors, and our community partners, such as Home Forward and representatives from ELM. And also provide the training and the professional development for the community education workers.
Good. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Lively, if you don't mind inviting Rachel Langford and Francis Sala up to the
okay.
table, we'll continue to tell
Great.
You about the hospice.
Thank you very much.
And as they're coming up, I just to point out again, those are two examples of investments that our hub is making with state dollars to support work on the ground in our community. You have a packet, I believe, that you received that outlines a number of different programs. We didn't want to go into detail, but we're happy to give you any additional information on either of those programs and or other programs that we're investing in.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Chair Lively, Vice Chair Hack, Vice Chair Peluso, and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Rachel Langford, and I am the Youth and Education Initiatives Program Director for Home Forward. We are the housing authority in Multnomah County. And our hub has multiple places for partners to come together and work on the big statewide goals of school success and kindergarten school success at kindergarten and family stability. We need lots of places to connect because we are a very populous county. I'm part of the Sector Council, which is one of two equally powerful governing councils for early learning Multnomah. The other council is the Parent Accountability Council, often called the PAC. The council is made up of leaders from the required sectors, so health, human services, schools, early learning, and business. And at Early Learning Multnomah, we go a little bit farther and include leaders from city, county, and housing. My organization, Home Forward, is kind of an unlikely partner for the hub. As an affordable housing provider, we are often not the first people who are invited to the table when a table is being set for early learning systems change. But housing is an incredibly powerful platform for services, and we have a lot of resources that we can leverage on behalf of our children and families living in our housing. Being at the hub governance table with the other sector partners like health, schools, and DHS allows us to think broadly about our work and about systems alignment, and there's really no other venue for us to do that. The Parent Accountability Council meets monthly too and consists of parents from communities of color. There's a sheet in your packet that gives you more information about the councils, but one thing I want you to know is that we chose deliberately not to put one or two parents onto the sector council, where they would be one or two voices among many. Instead, our Parent Accountability Council is designed for parents and is a place where they are empowered and strong and respected. Sector Council and the Parent Accountability Council come together a couple of times a year to make funding allocations and for our annual celebration. At a recent allocation committee, I had the pleasure of sitting alongside members of the Parent Council and was struck by their ownership of the work and their strong voice as they asked hard questions in the midst of seeking clarity and making decisions. They were by no means token voices. They were peers, and it was good to be doing that work side by side. Parents from communities of color, professionals like me. Together, we make important decisions about the work of the hub. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good afternoon. Chair Lively, Vice Chair Hack, Vice Chair Peluso, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Frances Holla, and I am an Early Learning Operations Policy Director with United Way. The resources that you as legislators have given us is making a real difference on the ground with families and children in a number of ways. There is a packet in front of you with budget summary and tens of the investments and outcomes that make us proud. We could talk all day about this, but I know we don't have time to do that. So what we hope is that you hear in our voices how excited we are to do this work together. I come from a background with DHS, so where I was with DHS for a number of years, and that is definitely a difference. It's a big systems change agency, and working inside that to change outcomes for families. What I love about working with Early Learning Multnomah is that we are set up to hear the community voice, and I don't have to convince my team to put families first, to meet people where they are, and to address racism head on. That's just what we do, and I think that we do that very well. And that is what is making a difference in our children and families within our county. Thank you.
Thank you.
So again, we appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. There's a lot of detail underneath what our responsibility is as a hub in the first 2.5, almost 3 years of our existence. We've had, through our investments, the ability to engage 18,250 children and 14,000 families. And you'll remember that 18,000 is roughly half of the 34,000 that we talked about as our focus population at the beginning of the presentation. Quite a bit of information you have in front of you. We wanted to have the opportunity to tell you a bit of the story of why Early Learning Multnomah has been important in our community. And in some ways, hopefully, you can get a sense of how that's distinct and different than what we had the opportunity to do previously. We really appreciate the support that the legislature has given in the last few legislative sessions to really create both the broader structure and framework particularly thinking about early learning with a focus on thinking about racial equity across the state and equity in a number of different ways. And we hope that you can see some of that playing out in the way that we're addressing that in Multnomah County. Happy to answer specific questions and or broad questions about both what we're doing and how we organize the work at this point in time.
Great. Thank you very much. So any members have questions at this point? We appreciate your taking the time to do that. And certainly what we've learned and looked at the different hubs is how they're the same but different. And certainly the challenges and some of the issues you face in Multnomah County are quite different than certainly the rural ones, but even other parts in the valley. So it's quite a task. But obviously you're structured and you're taking the task on, and we appreciate that. Okay. I'm going to close the informational hearing on Multnomah Early Learning Hub.
What's she going to do? Ready?
What's this?
This one.
Oh, okay.
This is
we have a separate.
Can we go ahead?
Yeah.
Vice Chair Lively, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of allowing Representative Huffman and Representative Hayden to vote on House Bill 2013.
Okay. Vice Chair Rep. Hack moves that the rules be suspended for the purposes of allowing Representative Huffman and Representative Hayden to vote on House Bill 2013. Representative Huffman.
How do aye. You
vote? Aye. Representative Hayden.
Aye.
Okay. Good job.
That was easy.
Chair Lively.
They won't all be that easy.
No, they won't.
Another one.
No.
Goes downhill from there.
Yeah. Chair Lively, I move the rules be suspended for the purposes of allowing Representative Huffman and Representative Hayden to vote on House Bill 3066.
Vice Chair Hack moves that the rules be suspended for the purposes of allowing Representative Huffman and Representative Hayden to vote on House Bill 3066. Are anybody object to that motion? Okay. Then I'll go to Representative Hayden
aye.
First. And Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Okay. So we take care of the two bills that we had work sessions on.
Thank you
for doing that.
Thank you.
I think we'll just carry it over. So for those that weren't here when we talked about it originally, so the other bill potential that we had to talk about today was House Bill 3087, and we have another amendment and potentially others that we'll be considering with that bill. So we're going to carry it over to the next agenda, the next meeting. Is that all right, Representative Brocksmith? Instead of the next session?
I'm still holding.
I know you are.
The next session.
I know you are. But
see, and for Representative Hayden's benefit, Chair Lively mentioned that he was going to bring up 3087 next session, and I wholeheartedly.
He agreed to that. But I've since corrected the record.
Yeah. Next session might be too soon, but.
Okay.
Now, if we want to talk about the other one, okay.
Oh, is there any other business that we need to conduct today?
Oh, please, no.
Okay, so any major not voted out today will be carried over to the next agenda, which at this point is Thursday. And remember, we have until next Tuesday, where everything that's going to move will have to be moved or it will die for the session. So if there's no other business, we'll adjourn. So if there's no other business, we'll adjourn.